from the Exxon Valdez. It's still there. And this is very important. I mean, seals that have, those seals that have returned are going blind again when there's a storm, the sheens come out. The birds are still dying. And the natives who live up there and try to live off the land can't because they can't eat those razor clams. They can't eat that stuff. You know, you don't eat a clam where your choice is leaded or unleaded. It's poison up there. And by the way, after we flew to Alaska and picked up the oil, we flew down to the Gulf Coast where the Obama administration, BP, have said, oh, nature's cleaned that up again. You know the theory that nature's kind of a happy toilet. You just poop into it, flush it, and it flushes everything away. No, I was down in the Gulf, and 4 years after the Deepwater Horizon explosion, you could find oil mats that are big as sofas. We have film of that, too. And so the damage continues, the destruction continues. And when you talk about cover-up, for example, the chairman of the Department of Biology at Alaska, at the University of Alaska, who is the world's leading oil spill expert, he has said he went with me on these trips, and he said, "Look, this I just from our experience in Nigeria and elsewhere." We're going to see this oil in Alaska there another 40 years, and in the Gulf another 40, 50 years. It's still going to keep poisoning the land and the people. And where I was picking up oil out of the Gulf, by the way, off those beaches, they did still have BP cleanup crews, which go away on the weekend so people can come and picnic on top of the hydrocarbon. It's only about 7 inches below the picnickers. And that stuff is coming up. Their kids reach in, and they're licking their hands, and they're poisoning themselves. But it's beaches, by the way, for the poor at Gulfport in Mississippi and Louisiana. And believe me, it's not Miami Beach. When there was a spill near Malibu, they practically went over the place with Q-tips to clean off every bit of hydrocarbon. But, you know, that doesn't happen in Alaska. That doesn't happen in the Gulf Coast. And that's the problem. You know, like every environmental crime has a class aspect, and that's also what I'm seeing here. And again, BP was behind both of these disasters, the continuing disasters. And by the way, Professor Rick Steiner, who has been collecting the samples and continuing to show the continuing damage, that upset the state of Alaska so much that he lost his job. Even though his chairman and tenured, they simply defunded his department.
Really? From the university? We've had him on. Mm-hmm.
He's the top guy. I mean, it's hard to find. I had to find him in Nigeria to come with me and bring him in. He's the world's top expert, and they fired him in Alaska because he's saying the damage is still there. And they say, well, you know, but that's not the official line, which is Mother Nature cleans up everything. Like I say, she wipes and flushes. But that's not the reality at all. And BP and Exxon and first the Bush administration, now the Obama administration, love that line that nature cleans up everything. Everything is fine. You saw Obama going swimming in the Gulf. Actually, he wasn't in the Gulf. He was in a lagoon in Florida about 700 miles away. It's nonsense. Anyone who sends their kids swimming off of Gulfport, really, that's child abuse. And this is a con. This is a terrible con.
Wow. We're speaking with Greg Palaston. We're talking about, 25 years after the Valdez. I've heard a lot of stories in that context in terms of the Exxon Valdez about how that's not going to happen again because we don't make those kind of tankers and things have really changed. Of course, we know based on reality that it hasn't changed. But I do want you to talk now about, you say BP can be held in some way responsible for the Exxon Valdez? That's
right. Yes. I mean, this is what people don't understand. Again, I was chief investigator on this matter, and I have 6 volumes of this material. Some of you can read some of the summary in my book, Vultures Picnic, or my latest film, Vultures and Vote Rustlers. But I got to tell you that BP was in charge of preventing, containing, and cleaning up an oil spill. Let's put it this way. The Exxon Valdez hit at Bly Reef off Bly Island, which you should have never even heard of that. It should have been like a day or two of something on, like a picture page 7 of the news, tanker hits reef, and that would have been it. why did it destroy the coastline? That's what people don't understand. It's not about the accident. It's about the containment of the oil. The oil is not supposed to run over 1,000 miles of beach. It is not rocket science to contain an oil spill, and this includes the Deepwater Horizon blowout in the Gulf. What you do is, it's simple. You put a rubber on it, and you suck. You take a rubber skirt called a boom, and you surround the vessel, and you can do concentric circles of this out for several miles. And then you take these sucker boats called skimmers, and you pull out the oil, or you can burn it off. There's no reason why the oil has to go all over the place and destroy coastline for 50, 60 years. What happened was, right at Bligh Island, right where the ship hit, British Petroleum said in writing, under oath, again and again, we have an emergency ship right there. We have the skimmer ship with the hose. We have the rubber skirts. And they supposedly placed them right at Bligh Island. It's as if someone started a fire in front of a fire station. It's right there. The truck is right there and the hoses are right there. Well, that's what was supposed to happen in the case of the Exxon Valdez. There was supposed to be equipment right there, the containment ship right there, and in a full-time 24-hour emergency crew. These containment ships are the fire trucks of oil shipping and oil drilling. You can't have a city without a fire station, fire truck, and equipment and full-time crews. You can't run oil without these things, and it is the law. And what British Petroleum did was they said it was there. It wasn't, because they said, who's going to check except a bunch of natives who live out there? Who lives out there? And so, therefore, BP said the stuff was there, and they lied. And it wasn't there. So when the ship broke open, there was nothing that could be done. And I have to tell you, the great tragedy, it was very personal. The Chugach natives of the Prince William Sound were hired by British Petroleum to be those full-time emergency response crews. They had the equipment. They had all those yellow and red Mustang suits they could drop into frozen water and control that boom. They could have prevented the oil from hitting. Instead, those natives were standing on the beach at Tetitlik Village, watching the Exxon Valdez come into the reef. They were standing there helpless at midnight, watching that ship come. They were helpless because BP had actually taken away their equipment, eliminated the emergency ship, and then fired all the natives, just fired them. And when a government inspector named Dan Lawn said, I think that where's the equipment? I thought that, I suspect that we have phantom crews, that there really isn't a ship, and we really don't have crews. BP just put names, made up names and put them on a list. Complete massive fraud. And the natives, by the way, whose shoreline was destroyed by that oil, who watched helplessly as the ship hit, the reason that they'd been hired in return for their giving up to the oil companies the land under the port of Valdez. The natives own that massive oil port. It's worth $1 billion, that land. They gave it to the oil companies for $1 and the promise of jobs. Once the oil flowed, they fired the natives. No one was looking. No one cared. And the rest is history. And that's BP. Now, Exxon was involved as BP's junior partner, but BP owns the oil of Alaska, 50% of the oil, 50% of the port. It is BP which is responsible, not Exxon.
Now, we're speaking with Greg Palast. We're speaking about 25 years after the crash of the Exxon Valdez and the destruction that it caused. And in this regard, in terms of the natives and the fishermen and their representation, that wasn't very good, or at least the lawyers representing these folks who had their lives turned upside down chose to restrain the information about what was really going on.
We had to. And, listen, I was part of the team. Here was what we were facing. One, Exxon and BP said, if you ever use the F word, fraud, we're not going to ever pay you a penny. And we're talking about destitute, desperate people who lived off the waters of the Sound. They had nothing. And they had to get some money in their hands. They were literally had no money, no work. Everything was desperate. So they said, if you mention fraud, we're done. And, of course, we had to deal with the George Bush senior administration, which if we mentioned fraud by BP, we were done. They just told us, we'll get you. So you got to bury those files. So that was the deal. And they said, instead, but we would agree, basically they'd let us, you know, go to the jury with a drunken skipper, because then it's human frailty. It's not about massive corporate fraud. And by the way, I'm not letting Exxon off the hook, because just so you know, Exxon had turned off the radar on the ship on its maiden voyage a year earlier. Turned off the radar, the Raycast radar system, because it was too expensive to operate and train the guys running it. So they said, just turn it off. So the third mate, the reason he ran on a rock is that he was, like, you know, looking, he was using what's called dead reckoning, like Christopher Columbus, just looking out the window. That's what was happening.
He had a little binoculars.
Yeah, literally. I mean, not binoculars, just looking out the window. And so of a tanker, a massive super tanker, right? And because they turned off the Raycast radar at Exxon, because to save money. All this is about saving money. All this is about saving money. Okay. This is not like, oops, we forgot to put out the tanker. They had promised that they would never run that containment, any tanker, unless the containment barge were ready. It was going to be right there. Literally, it was going to practically smack into the emergency ship. It's almost like, you know, starting a fire in front of a fire department. And the there was one containment ship, there's supposed to be two, there was one, it was up way up in Valdez, up in a dry dock with all the equipment under ice. It's Alaska winter still, the equipment under ice. By time they got the ship rolling and down to the ship and down to the Exxon Valdez, by the time the containment was there, you know, you had an oil slick the size of Puerto Rico, you know, forget it. It was done. And there's no way to contain it. And by the way, and here's the important point, They said, this can't happen again. Well, it happened again with the same company, British Petroleum, in the Gulf. When I saw the Deepwater Horizon in flames, there's all these dramatic pictures of these fireboats that, I don't know where they came, you know, from like out of New Orleans and stuff, the Gulf port, fireboats spritzing water on an oil fire. They might as well have just, you know, shot seltzer bottles at it. Where was the containment vessel? Where was the emergency boom? You don't see any rubber around that oil rig. And BP, once again, had promised that there'd be emergency vessels. Once again, had promised that there would be all this rubber skirting to prevent the oil from the from a busted rig from spreading. None of that was there. Obama listened to the baloney line from BP that they'll take care of it, that there was very little oil spilling out. And so he waited 4 days, our president, to declare a national emergency. Then the Navy ran out with 400 miles of boom, but even 400 miles of rubber skirting could not surround that slick. Now, that was by like the size of Jamaica by then. It was, and so the skirting was used to try to protect the shoreline. But basically, this stuff was promised. And I just saw recently ads all over the country in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, big full-page ads by the oil company saying, well, look at all the new equipment we have in case of another spill. Hey, guys, that's the equipment you promised before the Deepwater Horizon went. In fact, it's the same stuff you promised in Alaska, and I don't mean like the stuff you promised in Alaska, but exactly the stuff you promised in Alaska, including the stuff to wipe off the Arctic seals and walruses. Because they photocopied, I kid you not, they literally did a copy-paste word processor job of the Alaskan plan, which they failed to implement, and they submitted that as their Gulf plan.
Unbelievable.
Still wasn't there. Same game.
We're speaking with Greg Palestine. Greg, before we let you go, I want to come back to the latest BP disaster. Stay in the Gulf there now, 25 years later. Those beaches... people are swimming in those beaches. You're saying that they're still being wounded. Do we have any information? Is anybody monitoring health impacts?
Oh, yeah. BP is paying for all the studies of health impacts. BP is paying for all the studies of continuing damage. And surprisingly, BP is paying for all these studies, which show that all the hydrocarbons gone, everything is fine. You know, the guy that's running the study, by the way, out of Lawrence Livermore Laboratories near Berkeley there, that lab itself was given millions of dollars to go out and basically buy up every biologist around to say that hydrocarbon, it doesn't hurt you, it dissipates, nature takes care of it. But then when I go out with a biologist that no one could buy, the chairman of the Department of Biology at the University of Alaska, now eliminated, he says, it's very simple. He shows me the hydrocarbon. It's all over the place. In fact, I have to thank Sierra Club. They, believe it or not, they arranged for a submarine for us to check out the hydrocarbon still floating in the water column. Not all oil makes it to the surface. Some stays in the deep in that water, creating these tremendous, crazy bacterial blooms. There's like a massive continuing fish holocaust going on there. It's just like wiping out fish all throughout the water column. It's poisonous. And, of course, you had 11 guys die on the Deepwater Horizon. BP is a rogue operator. Not the worst, necessarily. I mean, but they are definitely one of the worst. And in fact, for Channel 4 television in Britain, I was investigating Deepwater Horizon. We went off to Azerbaijan because I found out that, through a tip, that BP had a blowout identical to the Deepwater Horizon blowout. That is a failure of the plug cement. These is cheap junk that they get from Halliburton, which doesn't really plug the hole, right, in deep water. It blew out in Azerbaijan. It was covered up by BP. And by the way, by the Bush administration, I know that. The Bush administration knew about the prior blowout, never warned our Department of Interior, so they couldn't change the method. And I know that the Bush knew about the secret, the hidden covered-up BP blowout in the Caspian Sea, because it's in WikiLeaks. Thank you, Private Manning, for releasing the truth there. I went to Azerbaijan. I got arrested in Azerbaijan trying to confirm that story, but it was sitting there right in State Department documents. Our government knew before the Deepwater Horizon that the methods being used by BP in the Gulf of Mexico were deadly, dangerous, and had failed, and no one's surprised. No one should be surprised at what happened. And then the same thing, no rubber boom, no skimmer, so the